This is the Wu Wei Wisdom Podcast. Our weekly no-nonsense life lessons aim to inspire you to master your emotional and spiritual health, achieve balance, harmony, and flow, and rediscover the authentic and awesome you. We're your hosts, David James Lees and Alexandra Lees. This week, we are focusing on the importance of being able to say no and setting healthy boundaries in your relationships and friendships. We'll be exposing the deep-rooted reasons why you may struggle to set boundaries in your relationships and how your inner child is involved. We'll also be sharing some practical tips and advice to help you get comfortable with saying no and speaking your truth in your relationships. Okay, David, so I know that many people in their relationships and friendships really struggle with saying no to requests of their time and energy and simply to do things that they don't want to do. Why is it that we struggle so much with saying no and setting boundaries in this way?
Well, it's what you said in your introduction, actually, Alex. It goes right back to the part of the mind that you may want to call your ego, your subconscious mind, and we call the inner child. And it's the inner child's beliefs that they have to please, pleasing people, that they get their validation, their worth, their approval by people liking them and people appreciating what they're doing. So they become a little bit of a martyr. And then over time, this idea of saying no or laying out boundaries becomes almost impossible. They can't do that because they're going against their own belief system. That if you're looking outside of yourself externally for this value and worth, it's a little bit like oxygen. I often use this analogy. It's like you have a mask on and you need the oxygen to live, but somebody else has got their hand on the handle turning the supply of oxygen, and you have to please them, you have to placate them, you have to bend over backwards to get them to give you more oxygen. And of course that gives the power to them, and that makes you what I call into victim mode. So therefore you can't say no to somebody who's controlling your oxygen.
But I guess at the time when this is happening, we don't necessarily perceive ourselves as victims. I'm wondering whether we the main thing in our mind is that we are, I guess, striving to be the best wife, the best husband, the best partner, the best friend, the best daughter, son, mother, father, whatever it is, whichever kind of relationship dynamic we're talking about. And that wanting to be a good person, wanting to do the right thing particularly for people we love, is our dominant driving force. But what you're kind of saying is actually, no, there's something else driving this.
Well, I think it's the opposite to what you say, because on your question there, you're presuming you're not already a good person. Mm. You're not already valuable. You don't have innate value and worth that we call Shen. That's spirituality. So what you've just given me is we have to work for that, David. We have to do things. We have to please people. We have to be the best. I was expecting you in that question to use the P word. We have to be perfect. And so therefore, you cannot be perfect because perfection is a perception. It's what other people or you perceive it to be perfect. So now you're back onto the carousel of despair, like a hamster running quicker and quicker and quicker to try and get what? To try and get something that doesn't exist, to get these strokes of validation and approval. Why do you need that? You all have already innate, inherent value and worth. It's a completely wrong way of thinking.
But David, if I'm in a relationship or a friendship with someone, I can't be completely selfish. I can't disregard other people's asks of me. I mean, is what you're saying that we have to become totally self-focused?
So you just swung it right to the other side now. Who said anything about being selfish? Selfish is when you're just looking after yourself without caring, giving a care for anybody else or what they experience. I'm not suggesting that's the last thing I'm suggesting, but the direction of your energy should first come to you. You have inherent value and worth. You have Shen. You have spirituality. You don't have to work for somebody else to give it to you. Value and worth and approval is not a commodity that you have to go and earn. You already have it. The question is, do you believe you have it? That really is the question. Because if you don't believe you have that inherent value and worth, where are you finding it from? What is the hunt? The magic kingdom, the place that's got it? Well, they've got it. Well, I get it from them. But then the next question comes, well, where did they get it from? And it's like you're following back to a magic well of worth that people draw from. This is wrong thinking.
So, David, are you saying that it's okay to say yes to things or yes to requests, yes to demands on our time or yes to helping people with things, as long as we're not acquiescing, as long as we're not saying yes, as long as we're not being compliant, because we're trying to earn something, like earn a badge of honor from the other person, earn approval, earn love from them? If we can almost do that kind of inner questioning and inner stress test check on ourselves, would that be a good first port of call as to why we're making decisions in relationships or friendships?
So when I work with clients, I want to change that paradigm of thinking completely. And I want to put it onto a very important Taoist teaching. It's not about saying yes or no. Let me repeat that. It's not about saying yes or no. It's about being truthful. It's about speaking your truth. How much do you value your truth? See, I would value my truth over the possibility that you may be upset. I would not put your upsetness hierarchically more important than what I believe to be true. Now, there is, of course, a style or a grace of delivering your truth. But so many of my clients can't wait to tell me how sensitive they are, hypersensitive, HSP people. And I often say, that's brilliant. That's brilliant that you're sensitive. Because you know what? That means you can sensitively deliver your truth. It's a bonus. It's one of your greatest skills if you're sensitive. But what a lot of my clients do, they demote their truth and put other people, validation, worth, approval, as I said at the beginning, external, above them. And this is what the problem is. And this is why it's a very important Taoist teaching.
And David, when you say your truth, what you mean is our opinions on things, our own needs, our own preferences, before, so that's our truth before, say, the truth and the needs and the preferences and the opinions of the other person in this dynamic.
No, you don't put them in front of them, Alex, but you tell them what your truth
okay,
is.
Okay, you communicate you, it openly.
Exactly. This is
you
what,
don't hold back.
That's right. That's what, when we, if you look back at the teachings we've done on love and relationship, love is an emotional feeling. What is relationships? The ability to communicate. So if your partner wants to do something and it's very important for them, but for some reason you don't want to do it, you speak your truth, you deliver your truth. Now, if you have a relationship, whether that's a friend, a colleague, a partner, a child, a parent, then you find, I don't like the word compromise, you find a cooperation. You find a way that you can cooperate together, but you don't start from the position that you're the victim and you have to surrender or be the martyr to what they want, and what they want is more important. You put that equally. Here's Wu Wei. You put what they want is very important, but you also put what you want is very important, and you deliver the truth of what you want in a kind, caring, compassionate way, sensitively, whatever word you want to put it, but you're speaking your truth. As in the same way as if your partner says something to you that disrespects you or you don't like it, You're not a doormat to be walked over. And even though you love your partner, you have to value and love yourself equally. Not more, not less, equally. And that's Wu Wei. That changes because sometimes it's nice to do something for somebody you love that you don't particularly want to do, but it's not the end of the world, and you go and do it, and that's fine. And that's the cooperation, that's the movement, that's the flow of Wu Wei.
I like that, the idea of a kind of a harmonious ebb and flow, so a harmonious give and take. And I think, I guess, when we're observing that it's just all in a one-way direction, and it's all you compromising your truth in small, tiny stages. Because more often than not, how it happens. It's not like, for most people, it's not one big earth-shattering decision which goes against your truth. It's more a kind of a drip, drip, drip effect. Because every time we say yes, when actually we want to say no, and we hold back on our truth, it's over small things, but those small things add up over time.
But it's even deeper than that, though, Alex, because for a lot of my clients, this would go right back to their childhood. This will go back to when a child between that critical age that I talk about, 6 or 9 years old, coming into the world, starting to understand how the world works, being able to look around and seeing how other families and parents work. And then they begin to realize that perhaps their parents are not demonstrating love or showing love or showing guidance or reassurance, very critical maybe, very comparing to other members of the family, always trying to push them, never being happy. And then what the child does, because the child hasn't got a wide view, the cognitive understanding of the world, then falls into a pattern, a belief system, a pattern of thinking. And the pattern of thinking is, I have to, and it can be any side of the pendulum. It could be, I have to keep my head down. I have to be quiet. I have to be a good girl, a good boy. I have to please my parents, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I have to try harder. I have to be perfect, as you were saying. I have to earn this. It's because I'm not reaching their standards. I'm not reaching their expectations. I'm not doing what they want to do. And then they're constantly disappointed because the parent keeps rising the bar and you never jump over the bar. And so this pattern, this mindset, this belief system, I call it, it gets very stuck in your mind. And a lot of my clients will say, it's natural, but it's not natural. It is a belief system and you can change your belief system. You won't believe the number of discussions I have with my clients who say, you can't change a belief. It's ingrained. It's entrenched. It's natural. No, it's not. It's just a belief. A belief that you created as a child for a specific reason, to try and get the love, attention, approval from your parents, which is normal and natural for a child. This is nothing unusual. But you've never updated that belief. And even for a lot of my clients up into their 50s, 60s, 70s are still running this inner child belief system.
So what would be the healthy updated belief? So we know we've discussed what the unhealthy, unbalanced belief is that causes us to withhold our truth. What would be a healthy belief?
The healthy belief is to understand that you have innate, inherent worth and value, that no one can give it to you. No one can take it away from you. I often use this example for those new subscribers. When you were born and you came into this world, still with your umbilical cord attached to your mother, the midwife didn't hold you up in the delivery room and say, quick, can somebody give this child some value and worth? No, you have it innate. It's innate in you, intrinsic in you. If you don't believe me, think of your child. Does your child have to earn their value and their worth? Something that's so fundamental that I call spiritual Shen. It goes beyond this physicality. What makes you this unique person? If you think of somebody you really love, like a child is a good example. and I asked you to describe your child, you'd tell me the color of their hair, how tall they are, the way they act. But if I said to you, really, is that all they are? And you say, no, there's something else there that's not material, not physical, but you can know it. And that's Shen. Now, how do you get to Shen? It's what I said a few moments ago. This is a Taoist teaching. The pathway to connect you to Shen so it will never be broken. Truth, honesty, integrity. That should be your guiding light. Not what other people think, say, do. Not that you've just been made redundant. These are passing phases in your life, chapters of your life. Close the chapter. Let's move on. We say on our teaching, get back on the bike. Start pedaling harder. This is part of your journey. This is your life journey. Don't put your value into other people's hands, because then you become the victim. You become the victim of their passing phrases, what they want to do in that moment. And you're there like waiting for crumbs off somebody else's table. Stop it. This is not spiritual. This is not who you are. You are not living in your flow. You're not reaching your potential. And this is why this teaching is so important. It's not about saying yes or no. That's superficial. It's about you connecting to your Shen, believing in yourself, and you speaking your truth with dignity, with grace, with ease. With all your sensitivity that you, my clients keep telling me they've got in abundance, then sensitively speak your truth.
David, I think this transition from a belief that we need to earn value and that the main operating system must be getting approval for our choices and our actions, to an operating system where we believe we don't have to earn love, we don't have to earn approval, that we are already valuable. For most people, that's not going to kind of happen like a flick of a switch. I mean, all our teachings are on how you make that realization, how you do that inner child work. So if you go through our back catalogue, you can learn way, way more about how to implement that shift in your beliefs. But when we first start trying this new belief out, when we first start trying to speak our truth and communicate it sensitively in a timely fashion, we may get a pushback from our partner, our friend, our family member, because they may not like us putting in place boundaries. They may not like us saying no. And for the sensitive beings that we are, that may create lots of uncomfortable, painful, red light feelings. And, you know, typically people would say to you, I can't speak my truth. I can't say no because I'm scared of the consequences. I'm scared, red light feeling, of how they are going to react. And I guess people make the choice that they'd rather avoid that feeling, that uncomfortable feeling, than speak their truth.
Well, you said a lot there, Alex. So let's go back to the beginning, because this is where I get a lot of pushback. You can change your belief, and clients dislike this immensely when I do this. You can change your beliefs like that, because they're your beliefs. No one else's. No one has tattooed them into your mind. They are not put there with a hot branding iron. They're just a belief. And then what you said was absolutely right. Of course, changing the belief and saying, no, this is more important, you're not going to get out of my clients call habit choices, because you've been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years. I don't expect you to. But once you've changed your belief, as you're saying these things over the next few weeks, and it doesn't take that long, people who tell you this is going to take years, it doesn't take years. Once you hold that this is the true belief, and I value my integrity, I value that about over being hypocritical, about saying one thing and doing something else. Once you do that, you will make mistakes, thank goodness, because as a human being, We only learn by making mistakes. We only learn by getting it wrong. We only learn by having to apologize and to learn for ourselves. So change your belief today. This is the first thing. Then it takes you a few weeks, maybe a month, to get that belief right. Then you moved on to emotions. This is the core of the teachings. Why people don't want to do that is because of what you said. I feel scared. I feel frightened. Now what you've done over your truth, you haven't put somebody else over your truth. Guess what you've done? You've created emotion, and now the emotion is in control. But listen, you create the emotion. How can you put the emotion in control of decision-making when, first of all, you create it? This is so important. You are the creator of your emotions. You are not the victim. So you see what you've done. You've slipped back into victim mode now. Instead of being the victim of what other people think, now you're the victim of your own, I nearly swore then, your own emotions. Think about it. Emotions are the consequence of what you believe. So get your beliefs right. Then your emotions will change. The example that you give is you've slipped back into the old belief system. That's all you've done. You haven't recognized that you've just gone back to an old belief system. I understand it's difficult, but it's about you being accountable. Be accountable for what you believe and why you believe it. People write in and say, you keep repeating the same things. Yes, I do, because you have to understand. Nobody, your beliefs are yours. Own them. Own them. Remember what we said. Find it. Find the belief. Own it. This is my belief. I believe I should put other people in front of me. Then tell me why you believe you should put other people. Because they give me value and worth, David. Well, prove it to me. Well, now you go round the Reekin. You go round and round and round. They don't give you value and worth. You know it. You're not being truthful to yourself. And that's where the change happens. And you're right, that will take a month, a couple of months. You'll get it wrong. It's good. You'll learn, you'll grow. And then slowly over time. You know, one of the most important things that we say for the inner child, consistency. To be consistent. When you get it wrong, dust yourself off, get back on the bike, pedal harder.
Yeah. So don't try to say no or put in place boundaries just once. And then if you get a kind of bad reaction from the other person, never vow, oh, I'm never going to do that again. It was horrible. Because, of course, we can't control the reaction of the other person for when we start saying no or for when we start putting in place reasonable boundaries or we start communicating our truth. But if we, as you said, if we value our truth and our ability to speak authentically and honestly about what we want, communicating it in a nice, calm way. But if we value that more, we should value that more than the other person's reaction. So even if they get angry, even if they get frustrated, even if they get sulky, even if they get upset, you can kind of sit with them with those emotions, but you shouldn't let it affect your thoughts about yourself, your own self-belief. You know, you shouldn't let it make you question whether it was a good thing to speak my truth.
And when you get down to it, after I've worked with a client for a few sessions, one or two sessions, and you've peeled back all of this stuff that you said, this is why, as you said in the introduction, it will always go back to childhood. Well, you know, I can't say everyone, but I would put it in the high 90%. And in that childhood, when the child believes, like we all do, that mother and father, family, culture are number one. They have authority. They have a hierarchical position. And you see what happens? It makes you the victim. And really then, I have to, as you quite rightly said, Alex, when you were explaining, I have to earn my love. I have to earn my value. I have to do things. I have to wait. I call it crumbs off the table. I have to wait for them to shuffle some crumbs and I eat it quickly. That is not who you are. That is not representing your value. There is no one in the universe like you. I say this on most videos. No one. You are unique. You have unique skills that other people don't have. They have unique skills that you don't have. Why don't you focus on yours? It's time to stop being the victim. It's time to stop uttering those victim statements. I'm not good enough. I can't cope. I'm unlovable. These are victim statements. Stop it. Be positive. It's your journey. This is your life. Honor it. Respect yourself. Walk with truth, with honesty, and with integrity, and reach your true potential. We don't know what that is. You probably don't know what that is, but this is an amazing journey that you've been blessed with. Now make the best of it.
Wonderful. Thank you, David. And I will put links in the show notes to more teachings that will help you with this subject, including our love and relationships playlist. And there's a huge amount of practical information on there to support you. Thank you so much for listening to this week's Wu Wei Wisdom Life Lesson. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and please rate and review us to help us grow. If you'd like to work one-to-one with David, he supports clients all over the world every week via video call. You can learn more about David's consultations, plus our online events, offers and gifts on our website, wuweiwisdom.com. You can also meet and share with us in our private Facebook group, on our YouTube channel, and on Instagram. Search for Wu Wei Wisdom and you'll find us. Until next time, stay happy, healthy, and in your flow.